May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. Our text is the gospel, the temptation of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live only on every word that comes from your mouth. So, Lord, give us your powerful living word today in our ears, soon in our mouths. Strengthen us in the hour of temptation and trial. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, First Lutheran, we are at war. And when you are at war, you need a battle plan. What's the plan for battle? Because we're at war, we're reminded of that on this first Sunday in Lent. We're at war. Need a plan. For example, the United States right now is in conflict with Iran, among other nations. What's the plan? How are we going to handle this? Well, we know the plan right now is to try to handle it in a diplomatic way. And we hope that works. We should pray about that. That's the plan for right now. If you're in business, and you have a lot of competitors, and they're taking away your business. You're in a bit of a battle, a war for business, aren't you? You got to have a plan. What's going to be your plan? You can market your business better. You can have a new product nobody else has. That might bring in more business. Or you can criticize your opponents and show how bad they are compared to you. What's the plan? If you're playing basketball, you need to have a plan on how to defeat the other team. Are we going to shoot three-pointers? Are we going to go inside to our tall players? Are we going to press on defense? What's going to be the plan so we can win the game? On this first Sunday in Lent, and throughout really the season of Lent, this 40 days here up to Easter, we see the great battle plan of our God. And what a plan it is. How marvelous it is. How amazing it is. It's a battle plan that's never been tried before and never will again. Incredible plan. We have three great enemies that we think about in Lent. And they are very, very formidable enemies. There's Satan, there's sin, and there's death. Great enemies. What's the plan? How are we going to defeat them? And our God has a great, great plan. Number one, God's plan is that He Himself, God Himself, all by Himself, will defeat the enemies. There's going to be a one-man army. How's that for a plan? A one-man army, and He'll do it all. And that one man is named Jesus, the very Son of God. And there has to be just a one-man army. How can we help? We can't conquer the devil, nor help Jesus do it. We always fall to temptation. We're more on the devil's side than God's side. Let's face it. We can't help take away sin. We just create more and more sin that needs to be taken away by Jesus. So how are we going to help with sin? We can't conquer death. When's the last time that you raised somebody from the dead? Raise your hand. We can't overcome death. We're ever dying and people die all around us. We can't do anything about it, really. He must do it all Himself. That's the battle plan. On this first Sunday in Lent, Jesus, one man, enters the wilderness with the wild animals. That's the devil and all the demons and death, the wilderness. He doesn't take us with Him. We won't help. On Good Friday, He's the one that takes away sin. We're not there with Him to take away sin. He does it all Himself. And on Easter, when we get to Easter, He raises Himself from the dead. We don't somehow help, do we? A one-man army. That's the plan. And it's marvelous. And we also learn in Lent that part of God's strategy, His plan, is to do this. He's going to conquer Satan first, if you will, and then sin, and then death. That's the order. First Satan, let's nail him, and then sin, and then death. For this is how evil comes into the world. Go back to Genesis. First there's Satan. He fell. He's there. And then there's sin. Adam and Eve sin. And then there's death, because you sin. Satan, and then sin, and then death. So the Son of God comes saying, okay, we're going to take care of the devil, and then sin, and then death. And we are victorious, and we are winners, and So for a few minutes here, we're just going to ponder on this first Sunday in Lent, just ponder the victory of Jesus and declare that we are winners. We're more than conquerors in Christ. Easter, we're going to celebrate the victory in full force, but even now we know there's victory and we celebrate. First of all, the Lord starts with Satan. Always the first Sunday in Lent, we have his defeat of Satan in the wilderness. As I told the Bible class, we really shouldn't label the story the temptation of Jesus as if the devil's the aggressor and Christ is this passive weakling that barely gets to defeat the devil. Christ is the aggressor. He immediately is driven by the Spirit to the desert. He goes out there immediately. The Spirit drives him there. Why? To conquer the devil. I'm coming after you, devil, and all the demons of hell, and I'm going to nail you and get rid of you. So it's more called the defeat, the conquering of the devil by Jesus. He's the offensive one. Why does the Lord start with Satan? Why the devil first, if you will? Well, an illustration. If you have a big nest of rattlesnakes in your backyard, you got a problem. And those rattlesnakes go around biting people. You got a lot of sick people from venom. You got a bigger problem. And you have people dying that have died because of the snake bites. You've got a really, really big problem. What do you do about it? I'd say one of the first things you're going to do is get rid of the snakes. We've got to get rid of the snakes. They're biting people. Let's get rid of the snakes. And so Christ starts with a great snake, the serpent of old called Satan. And I want you to note something about his victory here in Mark's version and in Matthew and Luke. John does not write about this, but Matthew and Luke also do. Note number one, how the defeat of Satan is so easy for Jesus. It's an easy victory. This is God versus the devil. I mean, there's no comparison. Mark hardly even writes about it. He just says Christ was out in the desert, tempted with the wild animals. Again, the wild animals perhaps mean scorpions, hyenas, and lions. But I take it more as demons, wilderness, the wild desert of death. He's out there all by himself. And the angels were there, and then we just read where Christ goes on and preaches. The kingdom of God is here, which implies he's the king, and I just conquered Satan who thought he was the king. It's all very, very short, because it's so easy. It's assumed that God can conquer the devil. Come on, this is God and the devil. This is like Kentucky basketball, number one in the nation, playing First Lutheran in basketball. Would we have to write about it? Would there be some great drama? It'd be a rout. Before it ever started, Kentucky versus First Lutheran, come on. It's like Indiana versus Tennessee in basketball. Come on. Had to add that when I talk about basketball. It's an assumed easy victory, and this gives us confidence in Jesus. We are confident now to follow him. We can trust him. This is the one, God's very Son, who's come to conquer the devil, who can get rid of the snakes. Let's follow him, trust him, stay close to him. And note also how Jesus conquers the devil with his word. Now, this is not recorded in Mark. Mark just wants to get through this. Mark, let's just real quick write about it. We got other things to do here. This is an easy victory. Let's move on to the harder one, sin and death. But Matthew and Luke write about the temptation a little bit. Not a lot there, but they summarize it. You know the three temptations, right? Quick Bible class. He's tempted to turn the stones into bread. What's he say? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God's mouth. Glad you know your Bible so well. You know what book that comes from? Deuteronomy. Easy victory. Then he takes him up to the temple, says, jump down, the angels will guard you. What's Jesus say? He says, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. All right. What book is that from? Deuteronomy. And then the devil takes him up to a high mountain and says, bow down to me and I'll give you everything. We'll rule the world. And what's Jesus say? It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What book do you think that comes from? Deuteronomy. Christ, to defeat the devil, does not need to bring down fire and brimstone. He does not need legions of angels. Oh, come help me, please. He doesn't need any help at all. Just his mere word. Three little Bible verses from a book, Deuteronomy, that isn't really a great, great book in the Old Testament. They're all great, but it's not one of the greater ones. I can pick from Deuteronomy. One book, three verses and conquer you. Get out of here, devil. He uses the word to show us the power of the word. You who doubt the power of God's word, you'll listen to all that nonsense of news out there and think that's so important, all the news of the world, but you won't hear the word of God. This is for you. The power of the word of God to drive away evil and to conquer Satan. This is why you need to hear the word of God. Memorize the word of God, all of you, and keep learning the word of God because it conquers evil. The word of God here is like a sword. The Bible calls the word a sharp, double-edged sword. And Christ here is mortally wounding that nest of snakes. It's as if he cuts the snake's head halfway off. If you cut a rattlesnake's head halfway off, it's not going to hurt you. Now, it may have a few breaths left. It may wiggle and squirm. It may have a few breaths. Where if you get too close and you're that foolish, it may rage out and bite you. But if you stay away, it can't hurt you. It's mortally wounded. And that's the status of the devil right now and all the demons. They've been mortally wounded by Christ and his holy word. The sword enters here three times, if not more. That's just a summary in Matthew and Luke. So stay away from evil. Stay away from demonic, devilish things. Stay in the church. Stay close to Jesus. He cannot harm you. The devil can't accuse us anymore. His head's nearly chopped off. He can't bite really anymore. He can't condemn us. He can't take away our faith. He can't stop me from preaching. Devil, come on, bring it on, demons. And I'm boldly to say that, not because I'm not just a mere man. They could kill me like that, but they can't touch me. Not because of me, but because of Christ and his holy word. That's the power of God's word. It defeats. It conquers. And so the devil cannot accuse. He can't condemn. He can't stop the preaching of the gospel. He can't stop absolution. He can't stop the power of communion. He can't do any of that. Stay in Christ and the devil cannot touch you. On the final day, then, Christ will take this nest of beaten up snakes and kick them off into the fire of hell. There's your home. Go to hell. There's more. There's greater challenges in the battle. There's sin. After all, these snakes have bitten a lot of people. A lot of sick, sick, dying people in unbelief, in guilt, in fear, in sadness that are dying. What about all these people? That's a bigger problem now. So what does Jesus do after he defeats Satan? He then travels to as many people as he possibly can get to in Galilee, Samaria, Judea. He travels all over, even goes in Gentile area a little bit. And then in Acts sends the apostles out with the word and sacraments. We still do that, don't we? We go to the ends of the earth. But he travels all over, gets around as many people as possible. I mean, Jesus can't even sleep at night. He can't even pray by himself. People want him so bad because he has the cure. He has the anti-venom. He has the cure, which is himself. He's the cure. His word's the cure. Baptism's the cure. His sacrament is the cure. This forgives sins. This gives life. It's his forgiveness, his love, his grace. It's he himself that is the cure. And so he preaches and preaches. For that word gives life. He heals the lepers, the sick, the lame, the blind, the dead people. All the sick he touches and heals. They touch his garment and they're healed. The power of Jesus, the Son of God. He is ever giving life where there's death. He's giving hope where there's no hope. He's giving joy where there's sadness. Peace where there's pain. He's giving new life to sick people. And he does it again today. It's called his holy word. It's called the sacrament. We are renewed, for we still have the effects of sin and sin itself. And so the Lord continues to give the cure, word, sacrament. He's here to give the cure to sick, dying people. And all this comes to a great head, of course, on Good Friday. On Good Friday, once and for all, he takes away the sins of the world. First Sunday in Lent, he defeats the devil. We get to Good Friday. Finally, once and for all, he takes all sin and all sin's effects, disease, sickness, death, hell, punishment. He takes it all upon himself and he takes it all away in his incredible death. There's the cure for sin for all people. Now delivered to you in his holy word, in his holy sacraments. Come get your medicine. That's why you come to church. Get your cure for new life. I was reading an article called Beat the Blues. And it's talking about how so many people are depressed and down and sick and doubting and struggling because life is hard. And what's the solution to beat the blues? And one of their solutions was this: giggle. Fake giggling if you have to, because giggling somehow releases a chemical in your brain that makes you feel better. So we all have a fake giggle. Oh, I feel better already. Ha ha ha. I mean, kind of silly. I'll tell you, if you have the blues, what you need is something red. And that's the red blood of Jesus Christ. You have the blues, you need the body and blood of this Jesus. Here's what gives joy in life: the sacrament. Sins forgiven. I'm reconciled to God. I have eternal life, the resurrection of my body. That's what beats the blues. There's one more enemy. All right, Satan. Sin. Forgiveness again today. New life for all that would believe and receive the medicine. But then there's death. These snakes have done a lot of damage. There's death. Who can do anything about death? Well, who can do anything about death? What's his name, church? Jesus. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The first, Satan. The middle, sin. And the last enemy is death. And that brings us to what great day are we all looking forward to here in Lent? It's called Easter, where he conquers death. And we're not supposed to do this in Lent, but by the way, Sundays aren't really part of Lent. The 40 days don't include the Sundays, so we can say today, a little Easter, he is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. Now, Monday through Saturday, maybe not, but certainly we do it on Sunday. It's a little Easter again today. And on Easter, he conquers death. So as we sit here right now in the pew, Satan is defeated. Again, the sword has mortally wounded him. Sins are forgiven. We have new life in Jesus. And then death. We're all going to die unless the Lord returns. But he will conquer death for us, if you will, in our resurrection the final day. Death has already been defeated in his resurrection. I get it personally when I rise from the dead, don't I, on the final day. And we await that. So as we sit here today, we are winners. More than conquerors. The battle, if you will, is already over. In a sense, Christ has won the victory. We are winners. I read some trivia this week where they were talking about cereals. And the number one slogan for cereals is Frosted Flakes. We all know that slogan. They're great. Tony the Tiger. But right behind that is Wheaties. What's the slogan for Wheaties? The breakfast of champions. And they asked a trivia question: who is the first athlete to appear on a box of Wheaties? Pat Hines, Michael Jordan, Bruce Jenner, or Lou Gehrig? It's Lou Gehrig. Harriet got that right. Very good. You know, you get your picture on Wheaties if you're some great champion athlete, which most of us are not. Well, I'm here to say, you don't have to be a great athlete to be a champion. We humble, lowly, sick, dying people. Maybe we don't have a job. Maybe we're poor as can be. Maybe we're sad about something. We in Christ are more than conquerors. We've conquered sin, death, and hell in this Jesus. So why are we so sad about life? Why do we have the blues when we have the red blood that ever flows? And we have Easter to come. What are we so troubled by? A little project. Next week, I'll be so kind that for fellowship, I know a lot of you are too lazy to get up and come, that's your problem, but I'll bring Wheaties for fellowship at 9 o'clock. I'll bring lots of boxes of Wheaties. And that's how kind I am. I'll bring some donuts along with it because I know a lot of us don't like Wheaties. But your job is to bring a picture of your family. Bring a picture of your family next Sunday and you paste that to a box of Wheaties. Because we are all what? Champions. Winners. Conquerors. We're at war. What's the plan? God himself in his love, all by himself, conquers the devil. All by himself takes away sin. All by himself conquers death and shares the victory with you and I. What a plan. What a God we have. What winners we are, more than conquerors in Jesus. Amen.